WHPO.
That's WHPO. We want to have you with us. We want you all to know.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning, 927. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. Talking today with Paul Schimpf, the Republican candidate for the nomination, Republican nomination for Illinois governor. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, but maybe a little bit hot here in southwestern Illinois. It just seems a few days ago, I was at the St. Clair County Republican Golf Tournament. I guess that was on Friday of last week. So really just like 3 days ago, and it was cold, windy, and miserable. And then now we're probably going to be about 30 degrees warmer today. So it's, if you don't like the weather in southern Illinois, just wait a little while and it'll change.
Right.
What I fear is that we're going to go from winter to hot and sweltering instantaneously, and not really have the nice moderate spring that we had hoped for.
But that's kind of like we usually do in the fall. We'll go from being acclimated to temperatures in the 80s and 90s to temperatures in the 20s and 30s, and body just does not acclimate that quickly.
Well, and that's almost like that's a good metaphor for politics, in terms of a lot of us were trying to just not think about it. I mean, most people want to think about politics as little as possible, and then just all of a sudden everybody's mailboxes are getting inundated, and the primary election is here. We're basically like 7 weeks out from the primary election, which is June 28th, but early voting starts on May 19th.
Right.
So you have, it is the time to start paying attention and start making the decisions.
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what, before we get into our topic here, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk with Paul Schimpf here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. It is 9:34. Again, we've got Paul Schimpf with us this morning here, and things are gearing up. The primary coming up here, what is it, June
28th is the primary, but early voting starts on May 19th.
Wow,
so that's coming right up. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to talk a little bit about this morning is just really kind of explain the reasons to support me in this primary, because Illinois Republican voters have a lot of choices. There's going to be six names that they will see on the ballot. So what I'd like to do is just take a few minutes and talk about why a Republican primary voter should consider supporting me. And really, one of the things that really we have to remember is this needs to be about defeating J.B. Pritzker.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why I'm running for governor, because I want my boys to grow up and have families in a safe, free, and prosperous Illinois. And a safe, free, and prosperous Illinois is not compatible with J.B. Pritzker as governor. He has shown us that. And really, we need to remember that the only way J.B. Pritzker can be defeated, it's only a unified Republican Party in Illinois that can defeat J.B. Pritzker. And one of the reasons that I ask people to consider voting for me, consider supporting me, is I can unify the Illinois Republican Party. Not everybody else can.
Mm-hmm.
So when people ask me, why you, usually I give them three reasons. I mean, the first thing that I a lot of times tell people is, look, we in the Illinois Republican Party have learned the hard way that talk is cheap. And just because people say something when they are asking for your vote, that doesn't mean that they are going to act that way while they're in office. Mm-hmm. So a story I like to tell people is 9 years ago, eight or nine years ago, I was running for Illinois Attorney General, back in 2013, 2014. And I was in the room and heard with my own ears when another statewide candidate, let's call him Candidate Bruce, said that he was pro-life and opposed to illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. Heard that with my own ears. You know, this wasn't secondhand. I was there when he said it. But then, unfortunately, once Candidate Bruce turned into Governor Rauner, what happened? He signed HB 40, which was the bill that basically put taxpayers on the hook for funding abortion. He also signed Senate Bill 31, which was a bill that prevented law enforcement from cooperating with immigration and customs enforcement. And a lot of people, you know, believe that that turned Illinois into a sanctuary state. Mm-hmm. So my point in relaying that story is not to bash on Bruce Rauner. I tried my darndest to get him reelected against J.B. Pritzker. But my point is to remind people that talk is cheap and you don't know where people stand unless they have a legislative record. You have to look and see what they were doing and saying before they were asking you for your vote. Mm-hmm. So I have a legislative record. Not everybody else does. You know, you and I have been talking for years now, you know, over my time as a state senator. And we've talked about how I voted no on every single tax increase that crossed my desk. Even the ones that the Republican leadership was pushing mm-hmm. in Springfield, I still voted no. I've never introduced any legislation that would give the Illinois government new taxing powers. That's something trust has to be earned, and I don't trust the Illinois government with giving them more taxing power. And then I voted 100% pro-life. I voted for a strong Second Amendment. Nobody has a stronger Second Amendment voting record than I do. And I also voted in favor of parents and local control over education. One of the things that I used to always say when I was a state senator and my fellow state senators got tired of me hearing me say this was I was like, look, we are not, nor should we be, a 59-member school board up here in the Illinois Senate. We need to let the school boards make decisions about curriculum and safety. So the fact that I have a legislative record, not everybody else has a legislative record and nobody else's legislative record is as conservative as mine. That's probably the number one reason why Illinois Republican primary voters should consider supporting me.
Right. You can lay it out. Here's what I've done. I mean, it's plain and simple, easy to see. And someone wants to know, how would you vote in or how would you... What would be your opinion in this area? You know, well, look at your legislative record on it.
I know, and there was a lot of pressure that went into some of those votes too. I remember, you know, when I got elected, we were in the middle of the budget impasse, and one of the promises that I made when I was running for the Illinois Senate was I said, "Look, you trust me to be your state senator. I am not going to vote for any tax increase unless there are spending cuts and reforms to go along with it." And I made that promise. If I made that promise once during that 2016 campaign, I probably made it at least 200 times. And then when the chips were down, when the impasse was at its height, and you know there was just a lot of pressure, Mike Madigan proposed a standalone tax increase to resolve the impasse. And I had a lot of people pressuring me saying, you need to vote for it. But I didn't. I said, mm-hmm. look, you know, if I can't keep my promise, you know, people should expect me to keep my promises. And if I'm not going to do that, I have no business being in Springfield. So I voted no on that tax hike that ended the budget impasse. So the legislative record, you know, is something that's really important. A number of the people that are running for Illinois governor have never held office before, so you really don't know where they're going to stand. And then I'm the one that has the most conservative legislative record. Nobody else, the way I described my record as far as voting against all the tax increases and never introducing legislation that would give the state of Illinois new taxing power, nobody else can say that about their legislative record. So that's the number one reason that I give people to support me. The second reason that I tell them to trust me to be their governor pick is, out of all six candidates that are running, I am the only one that has won a major election against a Democrat. And the analogy that I like to use is, if you have a threat to your health, if you need a major surgery, what doctor would you want to do the surgery? You would want somebody that had successfully done the surgery before, as opposed to somebody that just says, well, I read about it in a book. Experience is important, and I'm the only one that knows how to win elections, that has proven that I can win elections. And that 2016 election against Sheila Simon, the Democrats thought they were going to pick that seat up, and we got outspent by over $300,000. The Democrats spent over $1.6 million. We spent about $1.3 million, but we won that election by almost 22 points. And we did that, you know, because we worked really hard. We had a good message. But a key to winning elections is you have to talk about what unites us. I really think, you know, I'm not talking about the hardcore partisan Republicans or the partisan Democrats. There are people at the edges of the political spectrum who are just very upset. But your independents and your more moderate voters are tired of the toxicity. They are looking for candidates and leaders that can unite us. So it is important to talk about what unites us, and that's why we're running this election cycle. We're running on parents' rights, support for law enforcement so we have safe families, and restoring trust in government by ending administrative overreach. Those things are not Republican values. Those are American values. You know, so you talk about what unites us is how you win elections. And I'm the only one of the six candidates that you're going to see on the ballot who has won a tier one election. So I know how to do that.
Right. You're talking about, you know, your opponent in that election, Sheila Simon. I mean, you know, a lot of times they'll say, well, you got to have name recognition. Well, she definitely had the name recognition with, you know, Paul Simon being her father in that. But still, it was substance. I think you presented more of what people were looking for, and you gave them, you know, how you were going to do it, what you were planning on doing. And
well, and we didn't, you know, we weren't toxic either. Mm-hmm. You know, that if you remember that campaign, I started almost every speech I gave by saying, you know what, folks, we are lucky here in southwestern Illinois, because no matter who wins this election, we're going to have a state senator, you know, who's going to work hard and care about our region. Mm-hmm. And you know, I consider Sheila and Perry friends. I still do. Good mm-hmm. people. You know, but we were just on very, very opposite sides of the political spectrum.
Right.
But, you know, politics doesn't have to be this blood sport, you know, that's going to pit brother against brother. I mean, we have legitimate political, you know, differences. And most policy issues, there are legitimate points to be made on both sides of everything. Now, the one thing that I will say there is no legitimate policy argument on is voter ID. You know, if you can show an ID to get on a plane, you need to show an ID to vote. So I don't think there's any legitimate policy argument against voter ID. But on most other things, whether it's the social issues, whether it's, you know, just the role of government, you know, there are legitimate policy points on both sides, and we need to be able to talk to each other. And if you have confidence in your opinions, if you believe that your solutions are correct, you should be willing to listen to, you know, to people's arguments, have a discussion, and make the case for why the policy proposals that you have are the ones that our state needs.
Right. You're talking about the ID for voting or whatever. People say they want, you know, fair and honest elections. Well, okay, we've seen in the past that elections aren't always fair and honest. When you especially have people that have passed on years ago that their name shows up in an election ballot, you know, I mean, I see no argument in the fact that, I mean, there is no negative side to having to show an ID.
No, there's not. And, you know, the two goals in elections are, we do want as many people as possible to participate. Mm-hmm. We want people to vote. That is, you know, our most important right. And we, you know, so we want to be able to have people vote.
Right.
But we also need to know that our votes are secure. We need to know that everything is on the up and up. So, mm-hmm. you know, in addition to trying to increase voter participation, we also need to be increasing vote security, election integrity. That is as important as mm-hmm. getting people to participate. People need to know that their election was that the election was held in a fair manner. There was no fraud. They need to have confidence in the elections. One of the things that people have been asking during the course of this campaign is, they've said, they ask me if I support an audit of the 2020 election in Illinois, and my answer is yes. Not every Republican candidate has been willing to go on the record and mm-hmm. say they support an audit, but my feeling is, you know, the truth is not afraid of transparency. You've heard me say that many times, but if everything is on the up and up, you have nothing to hide, and you should welcome mm-hmm. oversight. You should welcome examination. You know, we need that to increase confidence in our election results, you know, because if you have, you know, if you have an election where people say that was out and out fraud, I don't accept the results of it, we're not going to be able to survive as a democracy. Mm-hmm. So we need to work on our election integrity. We need to put more more efforts into that. You know, there needs to be safeguards like voter ID. The vote by mail thing needs to be tightened way up. You should not be able to handle other people's ballots. That's one of the things mm-hmm. that's one of the reforms that we need to make as well. But, you know, we have to have election integrity.
Exactly. All right, we got another break here. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way, and we will come back and talk some more with Paul Schimpf here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back, and it is 9:54. I got some time left this morning here on The People Speak, talking with Paul Schimpf, and we've talked about different aspects. I mean, of course, the primary coming up on the 28th of June, so that's coming right around the corner here and stuff, but I guess I'll let you kind of...
Well, in the last segment, I talked about kind of the top two reasons to consider supporting me. You know, the fact that I have a conservative legislative record, and the fact that I'm the only candidate running who has won a big election, and, mm-hmm. you know, you need to have that experience. I guess I'd like to just kind of finish up by reminding people that in order to win against J.B. Pritzker this fall, and it's going to be about beating J.B. Pritzker. I mean, that's what this has to be about, mm-hmm. is who can defeat J.B. Pritzker. To beat Pritzker, you're going to have to do three things. And first and foremost is, you have to be able to unify the Illinois Republican Party, not just the conservatives, not just the moderates in the Chicago suburbs. The entire Republican Party has to be unified, because if you do not have a unified Republican Party, you get blown out mm-hmm. in the general election in Illinois. And we've seen that happen. You don't have to take my word for it. In 2010, Bill Brady didn't have the support of the moderates, and he lost a very winnable election in 2010. 2010 was a great year for the Republicans nationwide, but we blew the governor's election in Illinois because the more moderate Republicans sat it out. In 2016, Mark Kirk, our sitting Republican senator, went out of his way to poke the conservative base in the eye. They sat out that election, and he got blown out by Tammy Duckworth. And then in 2018, when Governor Rauner was running for re-election, he had pretty much alienated the conservative base. They did not support him, and he got blown out by, I guess, close to 40 points or something in the general. So if you cannot unify the Illinois Republican Party behind you, you will get blown out in the general election. And that's something that I can do, and not everybody else can. I have the conservative voting record. I also, you know, so I can get the base behind me, but I'm also I'm not a bomb thrower. I am a builder, not a burner. So I will be able to have the more moderate Republicans behind me as well. So I can unify the Republican Party. Nobody else that is running can do that. I can unify the party, so that makes me viable against J.B. Pritzker in the general election. You also have to be able to get crossover votes. I've shown that I can do that. You don't beat Sheila Simon by nearly 20 points, 22 points, unless you can get crossover votes. And then the last thing is, you know, let's face it, J.B. Pritzker is going to unleash a $100 million character assassination against whoever comes out of the Republican primary. And I've been through a statewide race, a tier one Senate race. Also, when I was being considered for a federal judge position, I was, you know, had every stone unturned by the FBI looking through my record. I don't have any skeletons in my closet. I'm the one that can survive this character assassination that is coming up. So if you want J.B. Pritzker gone, and almost all of us do down here in Southern Illinois, I'm the only choice that can make that happen. So that those are the reasons to consider me for your vote in the Republican primary. I'd also just like to, before we go off, I'd like to plug an event that we're going to have Thursday, June 9th in Waterloo at Sugar Springs Ranch. We are going to have a fundraiser dinner. You can find information on my campaign website about that. We'll have that up shortly. But Thursday, June 9th is our last fundraiser dinner before the primary. It'll be in Waterloo at Sugar Springs Ranch.
All right. Well, I hear the music, so I guess that means we're
out of time. That means it's time, so I timed it correctly. Well, thank you again for having me on. I really, really always enjoy coming down here. We try to do it like the first or second Tuesday maybe of every month, but always good talking with you, Jeff.
All right, good talking with you too, Paul. All right, Paul Shemp here on The People Speak this morning. That'll wrap things up. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.